Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ask Denise Griffiths Teleseminar Series. Denise Griffiths, your partner in success, is an online business manager, virtual assistant industry expert, web developer, and social media marketing professional. Each month, Denise hosts a teleseminar that invites virtual assistants, online business managers, web developers, and other virtual service providers to ask their business building and technical questions. She is joined each month by a guest online entrepreneur who joins her from her fantastic Facebook group, Your Virtual Assistant.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Ask Denise Griffiths, Your Virtual Assistant's teleseminar. We have, and I forgot the word question, Ask Denise Griffiths, Your Virtual Assistant's industry questions. We're doing this every month. And every month I invite a co-pilot because there's so much information out there, so much technology, and so many great minds who are working in our industry. I always love to have a co-pilot along with me. So today my guest is Susan Mershon, and she is also known as the Techie Mentor, and she is very, very active in our Facebook group, and I consider her a great resource for all of us. She answers great techie questions, and she's going to share with us today how she went from being a full-on working VA to really coaching, mentoring, and working with these programs that she's created. So today we're going to get, you know, more of the techie aspects of what we do as virtual service providers. And specifically, we're going to be covering probably MailChimp and Teamwork PM and much more, of course. So, Susan, welcome. And before we get started, can you give our audience a bit of background about where they can find you on the web and maybe a bit of your story?
Okay. Well, thank you, Denise, for inviting me to be your co-pilot today. I am grateful, so thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. You have no idea. I'm so glad you're here. We get a lot of techie questions.
Well, I'm happy to answer. So first, a little bit about me. As Denise mentioned, I'm Susan Mershon, the Techie Mentor, and I was a full-time practicing VA just short of 5 years before I realized that my calling was really elsewhere. I loved being a VA, but my passion has always been coaching and training. And so I kind of took what the universe was sending me, so to speak, and changed my direction. And now I primarily coach new and struggling VAs with, you know, how to build a successful business using the same model that I used. I came out of corporate America. You know, I'm an IT brat, I guess you could say. My entire career has been in IT. And I basically built my business not really knowing what I was doing, because I've been, you know, I've never been an entrepreneur. I've always had a job, and I built my VA business just based on what I could find on the web and just pure, I don't want to say ambition, but there was, you know, it was something I had to do, and I did it. So I learned a lot of things not to do along the way, mm-hmm. and that's kind of, you know, what I share with the new and struggling VAs on how to build a successful business, whether you're, you know, you've been in business for a year or you still have a job. And then the other thing that is really my passion is teaching technology, because there's so many VAs that have such great drive, but they need more skills to really serve a wider audience. And so I saw that there was a need for, you know, VAs to learn WordPress and learn MailChimp and learn some of the other systems, that there's training, but it's all, you know, it's all self-study, and a lot of people don't do well with that. And my training is different because it is live. I mean, I'm actually on, and I'm actually teaching you live, whether you're there or not. But you also get a sandbox where you can actually play with what you learn. You don't have to have the software that you're learning because I provide that for you. And I think another big thing is that I actually am available to you via email for questions. So you actually have someone you can ask the questions to.
Susan, for new VAs who, and I can see the eyebrows going up right now, what's a sandbox? I know what it is, you know what it is, but other people are going, what? What the heck is she talking about? So explain that for them.
Yes, and thank you for asking it, because sometimes I fall into that IT world and I forget.
Yeah. We know what we know, and we just assume that everybody else does too, which is a dangerous place to operate from.
It is, so thank you for that. And what I mean by a sandbox is, say, for instance, that you were to take a WordPress class with me and you don't know WordPress. I actually give you a WordPress site that you can go in and log in and play with, and I basically give you what you need to do that. So I build a WordPress site for all of my students to go in and try what they're learning. And same thing if you were to take a MailChimp class from me. You actually get into my MailChimp account, and you go through all the steps that we teach. So what I mean by sandbox is I mean a place for you to go in and practice what you're learning. You don't have to have whatever that piece of software is. I provide that for you.
Right. It's an actual learning environment.
Right.
I know. I'm one of those people that, I can read and I can listen, and then I have to break it. I have to get in and break it all by myself and fix it all by myself. You know, some people just need to do in order to learn it. And I was that way when I went back to school to get my computer science degree. I mean, I was in there just breaking and messing and changing things around and go, oh, that's how it works. You know, without that component, you can read and listen and watch videos all day long, but you really need to get in and, you know, to use that old tired phrase, get your hands dirty. Get in there and muck around in it. Learn how it operates. Make those mistakes and go, ooh. Okay, I'm not going to do that one again. Or, I found a better way to do it. So just get in and do it. And that's the sandbox environment is perfect for that.
Right, and that's really, and I'm the same way. I have to get my hands on something. And as a former software instructor for a very long time, I used to do, instructor led, which means I stood in the front of the room and actually taught people on their own computers what to do. And I realized that they really need the hands-on experience to really solidify what they're learning.
Oh, that's exactly right. And now let's talk about technology, because this has been my observation for a lot of years. Well, let me back up just a bit. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about, the different classes that you teach?
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about that. Thank you for the reminder. So
it's important because people are going, where do I find her?
I just launched my new website called, so it's Techie Mentor, so T-E-C-H-I-E, Mentor, M-E-N-T-O-R, Labs, like the dog, .com. And that is my site that has all of my classes on it. And I will be doing self-study. It's just I'm not quite there. So right now all of my classes are live. However, they're all recorded. And I see that I have a lot of people that can't make the time of the live class, but they still take the class because they still have access to me. They have the recording, and they also have access to the, the practice area and any other reference materials. So even if they, you can't make a live class, they're all recorded for you, so you still have access to the training.
Great.
And then my coaching.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, my coaching website is techiementor.com, and that's really more geared towards just VAs who are starting out. So there's really two different sites, and they interact with each other, but that's what those are.
Gotcha. Okay, here's one, and I know you've noticed this because we've talked about this. There, for the last several years, has been a huge influx into the virtual assistants industry of people who, with the best intentions of the world, in the world, are not really where they need to be in their practice or their skill levels. They're just not. And I think one thing that people really need to understand when they're launching a business and you're going to be an entrepreneur, you can do it on a shoestring. You really can. You didn't have to get a building loan. You didn't have to get all those permits. You didn't have to do a lot of things that a true brick and mortar business needs to do, but that does not give you permission to not educate yourself, to not have education and continuing education, to not really raise your skill levels where they need to be. And let's face it, Susan, in this day and age, if you are a virtual assistant or any other kind of virtual service provider who is not at least somewhat techie. You can't work in newsletter programs. You can't work in WordPress. That's a kiss of death, I'm telling you. You will not be able to raise your rates to anything that will sustain you. You will not be able to have retainer clients who happily pay you thousands of dollars every month to maintain their businesses. It's just not going to happen. So my best advice to any VA, no matter what your skill level is right now, is improve your skill levels.
Look, right.
I'm working in WordPress all the time. That's right. I mean, I am getting educated every single day because things change and things grow. I mean, I'm finding, you know, WordPress widgets that just go, oh, I mean, they're like magic. I didn't see that one yesterday. Ooh, I found it today. It's like, ooh. Yeah. Get your skill levels up to where they need to be and keep them up with constant education. So where do you, I know one of the things that you did was you were a functioning working VA and you kind of got burnt out on that a little bit. So rather than leave the industry entirely, you shifted your focus to helping other people be successful. And I love that idea because you can reach burnout. You can.
No. Oh, you it's very it's
I've
very
done it a couple
easy.
Of times. Like,
yeah.
I'm done.
And so people who know me, they thought, well, you know, she's not going to be a virtual assistant for very long. because just my personality. I mean, I'm more of the business owner. So my relationship with my clients, we were a team. I wasn't the virtual assistant. Because when I would see something, I'd go, you know what, you can do that better. And I would come to them and say, did you know you could do this? And so I had a different relationship, I guess, with a lot of my clients. And some of my clients were like, Susan, why are you doing this? You should be doing something else, right? Mm-hmm. You're different. That's what they would say nicely.
All right.
And, you know, as I said, the universe kind of sent me that direction. So burnout is really something you have to learn. And that's something I try to coach the newer VAs on to understand. You have to set boundaries with yourself, your family, and your clients. Mm-hmm. And that's so key to staying healthy. But back to your topic on, you know, investing in yourself, there's a lot of people that are, you know, on a shoestring, which I certainly understand, but you have to make wise decisions. You have to invest. You have to invest in your business in order to continue to grow. You cannot not do that. So you have to make wise decisions. And you're right. If you want to make more money as a virtual assistant and have more clients, you have to have technical skills. You have to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, honestly, the way I started out, for those of you who may not know me yet very well, I started as a web developer. And my business philosophy, even back in 2000, was always that I would never, ever hand you the keys to a website. Back then they were HTML. WordPress did not exist. And, you know, my philosophy was I will not hand you the keys to a website. Thank you for the payment. Wish you good luck and God bless and never talk to you again. I mean,
right.
I saw too much of that going on in my industry, and it really made me very angry. I would come across people who would say, I said, well, do you have a website? You're just in casual conversation because that's what I'm interested in. Well, some guy came by and he sold me a website, but I've never seen it and I don't know how to get to it. And then it would turn out that whoever sold them the website owned the domain name. It was a hot mess. Remember those days?
I
had a client a year ago. It took us 6 months to get his domain name away from the guy who had built it. And when I spoke on the phone with this guy, I, honest to God, the only way I could cope with this guy, the original web developer, was to picture him naked on a futon eating cheese puffs because he was such a jerk. You know, that's the only way I could cope with this guy. But I mean, it was insane. So my point for telling you all this is along the way, I always kept in touch with my web development clients. As technology changed, as business changed, as social media came into play, I have always been in touch with my original HTML clients, and I've always updated their sites or consulted with them. So what about this, and what about Facebook? And, you know, it just seemed natural to me. It wasn't a business decision per se. It was just my way of taking good care of my clients. And I kept a long, I've had long-term relationships with all of them except two. One passed away, the other one moved out of the country. I mean, these people have been with me for over a decade now. As a result of me keeping in touch with my clients and working in my own business, it occurred to me when I saw the term virtual assistant, I was like, what the heck is that? And then it dawned on me, I was already doing that and more. So I hung out my shingle and, you know, I've never turned my head back around, but it's been an amazing thing. But the reason I am so successful at what I do is because my technology skills are very high. Very high. And I can afford to say, look, I'm $95 an hour.
Right.
And people pay me that. And they don't quarrel about it. So that's where you want to get. If you want to have a very successful VA practice, you need to bring in high-quality clients who love, appreciate, and adore you, and who you can deliver. I mean, you can deliver top-quality services to them, and they appreciate it. And that's really ultimately where you want to be in a VA practice.
Right, right. And there's so many people that are like, well, you know, there's people out there that charge, you know, $5 an hour. And I'm thinking, well, those are the clients that you want.
Right.
You don't want clients that are only going to pay you $5 an hour.
No.
And sometimes they get kind of stuck in the muck there with that. And I'm like, there are clients out there that will pay you what you're worth.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to go find them. They're not going to find you.
Right. No. And if you've taken 100 $5 an hour clients, you don't have room for one $1,500 a month client. I mean, the math is there.
Right, right. So. And that's what I think people, again, get stuck with, and that technology truly is how you can raise your rates to make a great living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, you can specialize. I mean, my last couple of years in business, I was an Infusionsoft VA, and I just happened to fall into that. That wasn't something I chose. It was just something the universe kind of said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my specialty somehow got around that I could clean up any mess that somebody else made in Infusionsoft.
See, I'm that way with WordPress. People go, Denise, help me.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Come to me and go, well, you know, somebody went in here and they've made, you know, like 3,000 tags. I'm like, what? And just going in and cleaning it up and then helping the client truly understand what all the pieces meant. Because, you know, mm-hmm. Infusionsoft is also known as Confusionsoft, right? Because
it's
difficult. A monster.
Yeah, it's not a friendly program.
No, it's not. It's not intuitive either. So, but my point is, you know, as I became more proficient, my rates continued to climb because people were knocking on my door going, oh, you know what? You helped so-and-so fix their Infusionsoft. I need you to fix mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great, you know, and then it turned out to where I would do not only Infusionsoft with them, but I would do a lot of other things. I would kind of become part of their team. But as I got, like I said, as you get more proficient and you become known for something, you become known as an expert, that's a great thing to have. It's a great, you know, sign to put up outside your virtual door.
That's right. And, you know, if you can back it up, I mean, I see an awful lot of people say, oh, I'm really good in this. You know, I've had people say, oh, I'm really great in MailChimp. Yeah, not so much. So if
right.
you're going to say that you're really great in MailChimp, you better be walking the walk. Seriously. Because once you get that little bit of reputation, it's like, well, she didn't follow through. She didn't complete the job. What she did was really garbage. That gets around, and it will ding your reputation. So here is my rule about being in business. If you say you're going to do it, do it. It doesn't matter if you have to stay up until 3 o'clock. If you said it, you deliver it. The other thing is, if you don't know what the heck you're doing, but you said you were going to deliver it, you better pull somebody in who is an expert quickly and pay them. And if you have to pay them every bit of the money you're going to make off of it, it doesn't matter. You need to save your reputation, and you need to find a better way of doing business. Does that even make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I see it all the time.
You better deliver.
Yep, you better deliver
what you promised.
That's right.
And pay for it.
And you better deliver it when you promised it. And if you can't, you better find somebody who can darn well help you.
And pay them.
And if you have to pull money out of your little piggy bank, pull the money. Get it done.
Right, 'cause you
committed. Sit back. That's right. Learn the lesson and then find out how to do it yourself, train yourself how to do it yourself, or find somebody on your team. Or, you know, find a contractor, subcontractor within the Facebook group, excellent place to go, who is
right.
an expert and say, listen, can I bring you in on certain projects every now and then? Don't, if you commit, follow through. It's so, it's the biggest problem I see with our industry. It's the biggest
yeah.
problem, seriously.
It
so,
is. Or people
you,
saying
seen
they know
that
how to
well?
Do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people saying mm-hmm. they know how to do something when they don't because they want to take on the project or the task, and they say they know it's a piece of technology that they don't know.
Right.
You know, don't say you know how to do something. You know, it, I mean, some of the programs, you can probably figure it out, but like a one shopping cart or an infusion stop, they're not intuitive at all.
No, they're not. And you need to really,
yeah.
you know, you need to train in that.
Mm-hmm,
nights,
you do.
Weekends,
you,
whenever you do, but you need to train yourself in it.
Right, and if you can get a client, like I was lucky enough when I first started, I had a client that had one shopping cart, and we decided as a team to upgrade to Infusionsoft, and she knew I didn't know Infusionsoft, and she's like, you want to learn it? And I'm like, sure. She said, fine, and I learned it on my own time and didn't charge her
mm-hmm.
a penny
right.
for it. But because I saw that as an opportunity for me.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
I didn't care.
That's
nice
pre-training.
Weekend.
You bet.
That's pre-training.
Do you know how much
and
it costs? It's what, like $3,500 to even get into Infusionsoft? It's some insane amount.
It's a lot of money. And then, you know, from my IT background, and I was a software trainer, I used to have to learn software in one day and teach it the next. So I know myself well enough to know that I could learn the software fairly easily because of my path, because of my experience of doing it before. And so I took her up on that. And but my point is there was never a conversation around, you know, having to pay me for something
mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to do, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, I see a lot of people bite off more than they can chew when it comes to technology.
Yeah, absolutely. So technology, and the point for all of this, who you know, for our audience here, is that educate yourself. Get those skill levels up. Find the time, find the money, find the wherewithal. Trust me, in the bigger scope of things, the kind of training that we require is not expensive. It really is not. There's a lot
okay.
of free training out there. You can go. YouTube is a wonderful place for how-to videos. Infusionsoft has how-to videos there. A lot of the training that you need, you can find for free. You can also pay for courses like Susan's or, you know, go to Infusionsoft School. There's so many different things that you can do. Make that time investment and that money investment. Do whatever it takes. Because without that, I mean, let's back up here. If you're a real estate agent, you are required to have so many hours of continuing education. This business is no, you know, this industry is no different. There are no real requirements.
Right.
But you should set those requirements for yourself.
And people
so
don't.
They don't. No, they're too busy. Well, it's very easy. It's very, very easy to get caught up in the day-to-day stuff. And then at the end of the day, you're worn out, and you just really don't want to get on a webinar or a teleseminar or a training program. You're worn out, and you think, okay, I'm going to do that tomorrow, and then tomorrow comes, and then you still can't do the task at hand. So it's kind of like your exercise program. It's kind of like your personal care program. I mean, you get up every morning and you brush your teeth, right?
Right.
So why don't you get up every morning and exercise your body and exercise your mind and then go to work?
Right.
Well, you've got to set that. You have to set time aside for your own personal care and for your own business care. It's mandatory. It really,
well,
in my book, it's just mandatory.
Because I see so many people go, and I did this. For the first year that I was in business, Denise, I never even marketed myself because I got most of my clients through RFPs, right? Actually went out and responded to RFPs, got all my clients, and then I started to refer other people to me. So I never marketed my business. I wasn't on social media. I never went to networking events. But I realized that, again, as I grew, there were certain things I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I need to do something different. And so I had to start reaching out, and I had to start marketing my business and going to networking events and just getting out from behind my desk. And but my point is that there were so many times when I didn't do anything for my business because client work trumps everything. And I realized that my business was suffering because of it. So mm-hmm. you have to put time on the calendar for your business. And that's like, so Fridays were always kind of a slower day for my clients. So Fridays were my day to work on my business. And that's a common mistake that VAs make, is they get a full load of clients and they stop marketing. Well, your clients come and go. They just do. You need to have a pipeline. And a lot of people just mm-hmm. don't, you know, understand that. The simple philosophy is right. You never start marketing. You keep marketing because you want to keep having a steady supply.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and if you're uncomfortable with marketing, here's a very easy tip. Go to your warm market, and your warm market is your current clients and your former clients,
exactly.
unless it ended badly, which I'm going to assume that it did not. But those people already know you, they like you, they trust you, they value your experiences. Let them know that you have increased your skill levels. They don't know.
Right.
They don't know what they don't know. I mean, you can market to your own existing clients when you've, you know, up into, well, now you're really good in Infusionsoft. Did they know that? Nope. Do they need to know it? You bet. So always
right.
keep your client base apprised of what it is that you're doing and learning. You know, they may not need your whole basket of services, but they may down the road.
You know,
because
their
businesses, that's right, and their businesses are in flux just as much as yours is. You know, there's no, you can't get a client and then just do the same stuff over and over and over again. You need to be counseling with them and showing them what's out there, what's new. You're really, you know, I call my business your partner in success. You know, we step up and we are literally their partners. I'm not waiting at the end of a keyboard for instructions. Not
exactly.
any day of the week. I mean, that's just
exactly.
not what I do. So I have a question that just came in, and this one's for you, Susan. What technology should you know as a virtual assistant?
Oh, good. That's a really good question. Well, okay, WordPress.
Yes.
I mean,
I agree.
Let's just be honest. If you have to know something and you have to invest in something, WordPress, even if you have a Weebly site, your clients are going to have WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to support your clients and you want to grow your business, you have to know WordPress, and you have to understand it, not just really kind of dabble in it. You really need to understand it, because if you're going to be administering somebody's site, you better know what you're doing, because if you blow it up.
Oh, God, I know.
I did that. Yeah, I've done that. So, you know, it's not a good thing, especially if
no.
that's how they make their money, through their website, you know?
Right.
So WordPress
right.
is a must.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And here's the thing, and a lot of people say, well, you know, I work in WordPress. Well, what do you do? Oh, I blog for my client. Honey, that
no.
is not working in WordPress.
So that's blogging.
It's just not as blogging.
No, that's blogging.
So
and
working in WordPress means that, yeah, it's a whole different thing. So working in WordPress means that you can, you know, upload templates. You can modify those templates. You can hook up all the widgets and the plugins. You can bring in MailChimp and Infusionsoft, you can set up their shopping cart. You can brand their WordPress website now with their social media marketing. It, working in WordPress means you are really, literally operating a business. You're not blogging. So take it away,
right.
Susan. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
So, and that's so good. And so the classes that I teach right now, I just teach two. They're what I call beginning and intermediate. And
mm-hmm.
and they are to get your feet wet. And my plan is to actually have, because, let me back up. The classes that I teach now are marketed towards virtual assistants, but I have a lot of people who are business owners that are not VAs, who are not ready to hire a VA, and they want to know how to do it themselves, which I highly recommend that people at least
oh, yeah.
have the minimum knowledge, because you want to be able to talk to somebody and know they know what they're talking about. So my
mm-hmm.
point is, because my classes are they start at the bottom and work their way up. I am creating a series of classes that will be aimed at virtual assistants specifically, which means here's what you need to know to manage a website. for a client, which is all-encompassing, as you just went through, you know, mm-hmm. setting up the blog, putting in all the branding, working with the plugins and the widgets, and know how to troubleshoot if you activate or you update your WordPress and it breaks one of your plugins. And then when you look at your WordPress site and there's just one line that says an error, blah, 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 and your whole website.
Right.
Like, how to fix that. How to
FTP in. There we go. Great minds.
I was just saying,
and I can hear people say,
what
is FTP? It's File Transfer Protocol.
Yeah. So my point is I'm working on more advanced. But so the ones that I'm doing now are just because you really need to have a foundation. You can't start in the middle. You have to start at the bottom. Because a lot of people don't even understand the difference between a page and a post. Right?
Oh, I know. I know.
That's fundamental. So point being is even if you think you know everything, you should, and I do this, even if I think, well, I know that pretty well, I go ahead and start at the beginning because there are things I didn't know. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that.
I find new stuff about WordPress every day. I'm telling you, it's magic.
It is.
But it grows.
Like, how
does
the world
moving,
live without it?
I don't know. I have two HTML sites that I still maintain, and I have to tell you, every time I go into those, I have to re-educate myself on it. And I used to zip in and zip out of those things.
I know.
I mean, I would dream in HTML. Now I dream in short codes. I mean, technology changes so fast and so furious. And WordPress is very fluid, very. So you need to understand how to work in premium templates. You need to know how to build a page template. Maybe you're in one of the free templates, and they don't have a wide page template choice. You have to be able to build one.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so much that you need to know about WordPress, and it's daily. Trust me, I learn something new every day.
Right. So for those of you who are going, well, you know, what do I need to know? And you have to choose to what you want to invest in.
WordPress.
You know, you might want to start with WordPress because that's truly my biggest, I don't want to say seller, but that's my biggest class is, because it's not just virtual assistants that take it. It's anybody who has a WordPress site or wants one. And that's really why I developed it. But there will be a series that will just be for virtual assistants or truly anybody who wants to know how to truly manage administer a site. And, you know, I'm not even going to get into the PHP side of things because I don't want to, no offense, I don't want to be a coder. And that's, I used to teach Visual Basics to people who didn't know programming, and I don't want to do that again.
I remember Visual Basics.
You have to have a mindset for that. And but my point is if you get to somewhere like Denise says and you need a full page template, ask somebody, there are plenty of people that can do that for you. Ask them to do it for you. If you don't want to learn how to do that, say, here's my theme. I need a full-page template. And that's what I did before I knew how to do it. I found somebody that, and I paid them, and they did it, and it was great. My client didn't know the difference.
Well, that's exactly right. You reach out and you find somebody.
Yeah,
okay,
you do.
So,
and go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I want to discuss here is the difference between WordPress.org and WordPress.com, and it is a common misconception that you can just slap up a blog on WordPress.com and you're in business. There are a lot of inherent problems. You're laughing. There are a lot of inherent problems with that, and I learned a lesson at WordPress.com's hand many, many years ago. Here's one of the biggest problems. You cannot really put any of your, you can't put affiliate codes. I mean, I had a blog up on WordPress.com. It had a lot of information. I mean, I was rocking and rolling all the time. And I made the mistake of not reading the fine print, and I put up one affiliate link. I kid you not. And some officious little snot, I'm just going to say it, reported me instead of just saying, hey, you know you're not supposed to have that? And I went, what? I get a note from WordPress.com that they have taken down my blog with all 900 posts. It was a lot. And they would not allow me access to get back in and pull them down so I could repurpose them somewhere else. I begged, I pleaded, I fought. They just said, oh, no, you violated our rules. Really? Well, thank you for letting me know that. And that's when I discovered WordPress.org and the beauties of buying your own domain name and FTPing in and installing WordPress. WordPress.com is for craft people. I mean, if you have a craft blog and you want to put something up, WordPress.com is great. If you are a professional and you're running a business, avoid WordPress.com like the plague. Now, all that being said, I'm going to turn it back to you and let you explain WordPress.org. Because I'm mad now.
I'm right back where I was.
I mean, it really upset me. It really did.
Well, and that's just ridiculous. They should have given you access to your content.
They wouldn't do it.
That's just wrong.
Yeah. I thought it was.
But I learned a lesson. Yeah, a hard one.
But I agree.
WordPress.com, you don't have any control, obviously, from what you said. You don't have control.
But they own your content. They own your content.
And I tell people, they're like, well, I don't have any money. I said, fine, you can just set up a one-page website at WordPress.com as a temporary measure, which brings me a kind of a side point, is if you're a virtual assistant, you, by God, better have a website.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be in a virtual world.
No.
Yeah, even just to get started, you could have a one-pager, right? But my point
is... you can have a brochure site. You know, this is who I am, this is my service, this is how you contact me.
Yes, and you can do that on WordPress.com if you had to. I don't recommend it, but if you had to. You need to buy a domain name.
And this $10
Confuses tons of people. Oh, Denise, I have hundreds of domains. I'll wake up in the middle and go, ooh, I like that. I'm going to buy it. I may never use it, but
I have a domain manager from GoDaddy. I have somebody who watches over all my stuff. I have so many domain names. And a lot of people, you and me, we're so much alike. A lot of people on vacation, they go to Disneyland. We go to GoDaddy.
It tells you everything you need to know about us.
It's vacation.
Right, exactly. Because it's just, but people go, well, okay, Susan, I bought my domain name. I'm ready. Well, no, no. Just because you buy your domain name, now you have to host it somewhere.
Host it.
You have to pay somebody to publicize it to the world on the web. Unless you have a big batch of servers in your garage.
Closet.
And then I tell people, and people look at me, but I've heard too many horses. I said, it's not okay to host your domain in your neighbor's garage with their stepson.
No, it is not.
Go to a reputable place, HostGator, Bluehost, GoDaddy, you know, and pay $14 a month. You can even pay $4
in some places. It's $4 or $5. It's very inexpensive.
I have the business. I have the big one.
I do,
too. Unlimited everything, right?
So yeah, it's like $30 a month.
Mine's, I think, 15, and I have everything I could possibly. My point is you buy a domain name, then you have to host it. You have to pay someone to host it. And a lot of times you buy your domain name at GoDaddy, you can sign up for hosting at GoDaddy.
Which I don't, by the way, recommend. Don't do it.
Yeah, me either.
Don't host at GoDaddy. They're great for domains. Do not host your website there.
That's another talk. Yeah, I was going to say, they don't play well with WordPress.
They're slow. They crowd their servers, and it's just a nightmare. Don't do it.
It's not intuitive at all. Their interface?
No.
And I'm technical. I go, what? Where is that? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, you're right. So... WordPress.org is where you get the software once you purchase a domain name and you have hosting, which is where you go get the software, all the plugins. They also give you themes, and here's just a thought for you. You know, don't just Google a theme. And the theme is the template or the structure, the look and feel, if you will, of your WordPress site. Don't just go out to Google and find a free one and download it. Make sure you go through WordPress.org because they have a system that says, there's nothing malicious that's going to hack your site versus if you just go find one off of Google. So WordPress.org is the home, of you, if you will, of WordPress, and have the plugins and the themes and the support and the forums and everything that you need to set up your own self-hosted WordPress site.
Yeah, it's really not expensive. I mean, when people say, you know, I don't have the money, you can do it for under $100. I mean, you really can. And here's what I would suggest. You go to GoDaddy or another. I like GoDaddy. It costs you $8.19, I think, for your domain. If you don't already own your own name, get it. It is important. There may come a time when you want to brand under your own name, but if you don't, at the very minimalist, I can't even die. At the very least, you are protecting your own name. And there are malicious people out there. Get your own name.
Yeah.
Get your business name. I brand under my own name personally, but unlike you, I have a ton of other websites.
And a funny go up for a great.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me finish up my little list.
Get your domain name, $9. Get your hosting. If you go ahead and do it annually, I think it's $70. You can find a great template at eleganttemes.com. They're intuitive. They're easy to work in. They're pretty. They're up to code, meaning that they work well with the latest version of WordPress. Go to eleganttemes.com. I think a theme will cost you about $20. There you are. Yeah. You're $100. Go for it.
Yep.
And then learn how to work in WordPress while you're building your site. You're training yourself. You're building up your skill levels. There are WordPress plugins that allow you to hide the site. They're free while it's under construction, so you can build and break and, you know, draw and scribble all over it to your heart's content, and nobody can see it until you're ready. Just do it. You've got to do it. I really think it's mandatory. So go ahead and I'm sorry, I interrupted your story.
No, I was just going to say, talking about owning your own name as a domain. My mm-hmm. husband's sister, her name is Susan. Her name is Susan Mershon.
Mm-hmm.
I took her name. And she's married now. And luckily, she's not an entrepreneur. But my point is, that was the first thing I looked at. I thought, oh, God, I wonder if she owns that site, because that was her name. And luckily,
right.
She didn't. And there are other Susan Mershons out there, because I Google that all the time. And I'm like, oh, I want to see where I rank on that, right? But I bought my name,
right.
And I don't use it. I just redirect it to the Techie-Mitter. I chose to brand myself under Techie-Mitter versus Susan Mershon.
Mm-hmm.
That was just my choice. And that may change over time. Who knows? But it's always a very good idea to have, if you have a very common name, put your middle initial in it,
mm-hmm.
and get it that way. But and you should also buy domains that are your products. If you sell products,
Yeah, absolutely. I know one of my favorite authors is John Morgan, Brand Against the Machine.
Yeah.
He has to brand himself John Michael Morgan. John Morgan is a very common name. So
exactly.
He's John Michael Morgan. So, right. There's ways around it. Listen, I know you've got another call you've got to jump on, and I don't want to keep you, but I do want to ask you, we have a lot of questions in the Facebook group about Teamwork PM and about MailChimp.
Mm-hmm.
Any
okay.
words of wisdom on those two technologies?
Yes. So I'll start with Teamwork PM. What I see a common problem is people use five different tools to do five different things, where you really
mm-hmm.
should just have a task management tool. And I, my last corporate job, I was an IT project manager, so project management is also another thing that I live and breathe. So, and as Denise can tell you, IT is all systems. Everything's a
mm-hmm.
process and a system. So
that's right.
You need to have that in your business. But Teamwork PM will allow you to do everything you need for your virtual assistant business. You can communicate, you can set tasks and deadlines, you can track time, you can't invoice, but you can pull time reports and dump them into FreshBooks or QuickBooks. It truly is an awesome system, and it's one that you should really have, because it will help you manage multiple clients, multiple tasks, and multiple team members all in one interface. And it's all permission-based. I worked with Teamwork for the last 5 years, I believe, and
mm-hmm.
I got to know the developers, because I was constantly going, are you going to do that? Can you do this? Do you know how to do that? And they're like, oh, God, there she is again. But anyway, I became friends with them, and I actually am now a certified trainer for Teamwork, because they know, I asked
mm-hmm.
them, I said, I would love to be able to teach what I have used your platform for VA. So I have a class just for that. And again, I've had people in there that aren't VAs. But it really is key if you want to, it's just like any other piece of software. You need to know what you're doing in order to be efficient and organized. So Teamwork PM is a great tool. It is very affordable. There's a free version. You can have up to 5 projects, I believe, for the free.
Mm-hmm.
You can do 30 days for free. And it will teach you, how to truly keep your business organized, because, having sticky notes with deadlines and stuff is not going to fly when you get busy.
That's exactly
gotta
right.
Have.
And your clients appreciate it because they can log in and see what's going on, and they can see if there are, you know, any benchmarks that have maybe not been, you know, they can kind of keep track. It eliminates on that email back and forth because emails can get lost or lengthy.
And you can thread them to task. So you can always go back and look at task, and there's the entire email string. And clients that I worked with, I mean, it got to the point where I'm like, okay, here's, because remember, when you're talking to a client, it's a two-way street. It's your decision, too. It's not just theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't work with clients that were not willing to work in a task management system. Now, I gave them an hour of my time, and I taught them what I wanted them to do.
Right.
But, you know, and then 9 times out of 10, they embraced it, and they got their own teamwork PM for their own business because they loved what it did. So my point is that clients were very impressed that, oh, you use the system? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they thought, well, she probably knows what she's doing, right? She's a true business owner. She's really, you know, taking it seriously.
Well,
I highly
recommend
teamwork PM. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, you're serious about what it is you're doing. And then MailChimp, you know, you really do need to build a list, which is a whole other conversation. But, you know, MailChimp has come a long way. I remember using it like 4 years ago. I'm like, oh, my God, this thing is horrible. But now they've come such a long way. They've redone the interface. And basically what MailChimp allows you to do is communicate with your list of contacts. And you can send e-zines. You can send e-zine being electronic newsletter. But you can also send broadcast messages to them. You can set up autoresponders, which are messages that are sent because of a trigger. So they bought something, they signed up for something. But MailChimp, if you're a VA and you're new and you really want to get your feet wet with email marketing, MailChimp is $10 a month and $10 for all of the functionality. If you don't want autoresponders, you can just have the free version and you don't have autoresponders. But I highly recommend that. If you want to get your feet wet with email marketing, you can just jump in and start with MailChimp. And it's because your clients will use it. And, you know, if you want to know more than MailChimp, the three big ones for just straight email marketing would be Constant Contact and AWeber and MailChimp. And those are the big ones that I saw. Now, there are others out there, but those are the three big ones that a lot of your clients might use. And it's a good idea to, you know, have a foundation, at least in one of those three.
Preferably all three, but yes, at least, you know, start somewhere. And MailChimp is the cheapest, you know, solution to start.
Right. And if, you know, and if you do decide you want to take all three, I have two courses that teach you all three. One teaches you the basics and one teaches you more advanced. But I teach all three platforms. And I even have people who, again, are not virtual assistants, take it because they want to know which one they should go with. And so they want to try all three out first. And then they make a decision on which one they're going to use. So,
and that makes sense. I mean, you know, there are so many options out there. And, you know, we need not forget that, you know, we are serving a population who needs to educate themselves as well so they can work competently with us.
Exactly.
I mean, it's very, very important, and that's a whole other call, too. But educating the client is almost as important as educating yourself. And I know that sounds – I'm not sure how it sounds. It probably doesn't sound right, but trust me, they don't know what they don't know, and they can't guide you, and you can't guide them unless you're both working at a similar level. You need to understand technology and what it does for you, and your client needs to understand the technology and why they need to have you working in it for them.
Right.
It's very, very important. Listen, I know you have got to run, and we had some great, great questions in the chat room. We didn't get to all of them, but hopefully you'll come back and co-pilot with me again one day soon.
I would love to. I love just, you know, as you know, Denise, I love just chatting with you. We are like-minded in so many ways.
We are.
Luckily, we didn't go off on any tangents today.
No. We tried not to. We had a list this time, though. But,
that's right.
But anyway.
Stick to the list.
That's right. Listen, I know you've got to run. And I know your schedule today is insane. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity of allowing to have this chat with you. And yes, another time, love to chat with you about the whole Blog Talk Radio thing, too, because that's fascinating.
Well, and I'm actually putting together a course for that. I will be on a webinar, teleseminar. I'm a panelist on a big seminar coming up, and I will be talking about Blog Talk Radio. And I'm in the middle of finishing up my Udemy course on Blog Talk Radio. So maybe I can get you to interview me next time, and we can talk about it, because it's a very important topic. Very important.
I would love to do that.
Oh, cool. It's a great way to get your voice out. It's a great way to showcase your expertise. It's just a good thing. We're on Blog Talk Radio right now. But anyway,
right. You've
got to run. We're out of time. We're not even streaming anymore. We're still recording. But listen, everybody, thank you for being here. We had some great questions in the chat room, and I really appreciate you being here with us today. Go to your virtual assistant, our Facebook group. Shoot us any questions. We're here to help as much as we can. And the call will be available for download in about an hour. Susan, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you have a great day.
You too, Denise. And thank you again. And I will see everybody on the
Facebook
page.
Thank you for being here. You can find Denise on the web at denisegriffiths.com and gottagovirtualnow.com. You are also cordially invited to visit yourpartnerinsuccessradio.com, where Denise interviews internet industry leaders, renowned authors and speakers, and other online entrepreneurs each Friday. If you have questions about the virtual assistant industry, please email them to Denise at gottagovirtualnow.com.